welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and it is now or never. Who doesn't recognize we're running out of time? As a matter of fact, this weekend I traveled to Montana, and I'm going to get into that Montana trip, but I can tell you that the sentiments there, and there's a movement. There's more and more people that are realizing they've got to do something, but the problem is we have so many people that have become indifferent or apathetic because every movement out there is not the solution. And every movement that they've engaged in, whether it be the Tea Party movement, it doesn't matter. They have never bore fruit in actually, what have they done? What have they done? Have they just slowed down the progress of communism? And so this kind of begs some real serious conversations. And so what we want to do before we get into Constitution Day, which is basically next Monday, this coming Monday, we will be going through the Constitution line by line, word by word. We're going to identify what all the problems are that are being violated as we read through it. Now, I've offered to quite a few people if they wanted to, you know, come on and, you know, kind of guest or, you know, work with me on favorite parts of the Constitution. And sadly, and I've probably offered this to about 12 people so far, and I haven't gotten a bite. I don't know if it's just that there's a lack of confidence on the Constitution or what. Maybe it's me. It could be me. Nine times out of ten, as my wife says, it's always me. Anyway, so who can't say something about the tribute weekend we just suffered and endured through? Sadly enough, we have to continually remember that we had to go through 9/11. And unfortunately, folks, we have to go through all of this tyranny as well. You know, had we been complying with the Constitution, had we been following the Constitution since the very beginning, 9/11 would never have occurred. And as a matter of fact, I'm kind of curious whether the world wars would have occurred or either. I know despots would have risen up, but I don't think it would have been the magnitude. Now, I know it takes a while. It really does take a while for people to come to the epiphany, to come to that, you know, awakening point that their form of government is absolutely non-conducive to liberty and to, you know, to enlightenment and to the betterment of their society. Had we been following the Constitution and had states around the world slowly, you know, became territories and integrated into the United States, there would be far more states in this union than what we have today. A lot more. I believe that South America, Central America, well, we know that Mexico and Canada were offered. The problem at the time was we had slavery. And beyond that, you know, everybody else kind of lulled themselves because once we got rid of slavery, why didn't Mexico come back in? Why did Mexico? Because Mexico was still having problems. We lost sight of sharing liberty with the world as a nation. I don't know whose shoulders, you know, would bear that weight, because when I look at what the Lord inspired into this Constitution, there was, with great power comes great responsibility. And the men that were in charge of this nation every step of the way, even up till today, there is great responsibility of the executing and faithfully executing the law of the land. And so I believe that there is, you know, there's going to be some judgment. We all have to face the judgment. But I think that there's an added judgment for those who were actually in charge that executed nefarious plans versus the plans that they should have been doing regarding liberty and expanding liberty and expanding this union to all people. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, when they look at this, they go, oh, I actually have arguments with what I consider really conservative people. They just think that America was only, you know, it was made for only those people that live right here between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, between the north and south latitudes, and, you know, Alaska and Hawaii are outliers, you know, and all these other little territories, those are outliers. You know, we should have just stuck to, you know, the contiguous 48 states. And I'm going, so what you're telling me, what these people are telling me is that even though we're all literally from the same family. I mean, God created Adam and Eve in his image. And so we know that everybody that descended from Adam and Eve has proliferated around this world. So we're all his children. We're all from the offspring of Adam. And I have to challenge this idea that only the few people in this area did the Lord want to enjoy the privileges of liberty and a free society that we enjoy. Why wouldn't he want all the children? Because if you think about it, in our society, this is where everybody has an opportunity to receive, learn, and accept for themselves, you know, his teachings and all sorts of things. I mean, we actually have the liberty. So this is why we kind of covered, and I'll go through these. I don't want to go through them again, but I'll kind of go through what we need to cover again. The scale of liberty, right? The scale of liberty, on one end you have full liberty where, you know, nobody can be compelled to do anything. You have to make your own decisions. Have you ever met somebody that really has a hard time making a decision? They don't do well in that environment. Well, but maybe that's because they've never really had and grew up in that type of an environment where maybe if you're used to having people make decisions for you and all of a sudden you have to start making your own decisions, it's kind of hard because you don't know how to do it. Maybe that's it. But nevertheless, on the full side of liberty, when everybody has to choose for themselves, then we all become accountable. We all have to, you know, answer for our mistakes. We have to be responsible for what we're doing. And again, the word accountable, for when we do something wrong, we have to make amends. We have to pay the price of committing crimes, committing sins, what have you. And so as we look at the other end of that spectrum, full enslavement, now you have no choice. You will do what you're told. And there's no tolerance. You either follow the lines or you go away. They don't even care. On that end of the spectrum, life is not precious. Life is to be controlled. It is, you know, if you've got a weed or if you've got some plant that's growing crooked, you just pull it, throw it away, and you start over again. That is their perspective on you and your life, on everybody's life. It does not matter. The elitists are in control, and they will dictate. That this is the new innovation of slavery. Literally, it is the new innovation of slavery. As we've seen nations from, you know, Egypt in ancient times to today, where people are becoming enslaved again. It's just a moral crime. It's a moral sin to see people losing their liberty and losing their ability to choose for themselves. Now, if you really think about it, what that means is nobody can or would be allowed to accept Christ. So this is why I tell people, Christ wants us to have liberty. Christ wants us to choose. I mean, that is the doctrine of being able to choose and follow him and stay on his path and so forth. You know, and but you're always free to walk away. As I say, you're always free to walk away. You're always free to come back. You always have the choices. Now, we're moving into a world and a time where those choices will go away. It'll be perceived that we have choices, but it's kind of like Islam. You either choose to, you know, convert, or you become a slave, you become a, or you get killed. So anyway, as we kind of look at, you know, these tributes that we've seen from the 9/11 this past weekend to the Queen, the passing of the Queen, you know, I find it interesting. It really made my mind kind of go, you know, through a lot of different levels of science, religion, and so forth to go, you know, we're there, folks. I see this. I see things unraveling. Let me ask you a question. And I would invite anybody to answer this via phone call. And you know, you could just call us at 425-270-5416. Or you can send me an email, info@reclaimtherepublic.org. What would it take for the monarch to seize control in Britain again? To seize control of the Commonwealth? Keep in mind, when you look at the Commonwealth, what is the Commonwealth of Britain? That includes Canada, Australia, and a lot of other little places. The Commonwealth is still big. Britain and the Britain Empire is actually still very big. They've allowed, you know, they've allowed Hong Kong to go free and other Asian nations to go free and so forth. But it wasn't something that they really wanted to do. It was something that they were kind of forced to do. But what would it take? What would it take for Britain to basically convert back to the monarchy? Well, I can tell you that when we look at, you know, what it would take, it would take a despotic monarch. Now, I've told you this before, when you look at that scale of liberty, those people that are on that end of enslavement, they don't care. They really believe they know better, and they really believe that you have to do what's needed for your betterment. It's for your own good. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
All right, friends, I'm just here to tell you that when we really look at those, because I want to close this topic as we move forward, when we really look at those on the progressive side, what we call the dark side of the scale of liberty, when we look at these folks that are out there, and they've taught us over the past century plus how cruel and how intolerant the conservatives, the religious people are, and how, you know, they've done such cruel things. Actually, baked into the paradigm of religion is justice and mercy. When it comes to the progressives, there is no such thing as justice, and there is no such thing as mercy. It's not a part of their doctrine, which is why you'll you will rue the day when they actually take over, because you want to see intolerance? When we were told about the Crusades, about the religious wars and so forth, and how intolerant we were, I am telling you, we are going to look at a level of intolerance that history couldn't even compel itself to write. It is going to be a very dark time in the time of humanity. But fortunately, we know it'll be a short point in time. In contrast to the, you know, the years and years of evolution in governments and evolutions of societies and so forth. So anyway, let me just kind of move forward, because we are going to have our conversation with Michelle Bachmann on Thursday. So on Thursday, you'll actually hear that conversation. And let me see here. I've got it open in front of me. Our conversation went about 32-33 minutes, a little over 32 minutes, almost 33. And so it's an interesting conversation. I talk and I bring up her positions historically when she was in office and in her political career. And what I'm going to tell you now, because I probably won't have time, nor will I, you know, want to bring it up on the day of the show. We'll talk about it. But I want you to ponder, who would serve America better? Because we really need, we have 2 years, and it's already campaign season. As soon as this election is over, the presidential election campaign will begin. That's how long they ramp up, and that's how long they do this. Who do you believe would make a good president for the United States? Do you really believe Donald Trump, who didn't understand the Constitution, who actually signed off on tyrannical things and actually spent trillions of dollars on things that they should have done? I mean, he did some things right. He shut down the borders and traveled to China as soon as the pandemic began. He wasn't aggressive enough in doing that. And ironically, it was the progressives that wanted to make sure that that virus spread throughout the world and throughout America, when we should have actually isolated America and let that virus just, you know, do it, run its course. My point is, we need to have an open conversation, and we really need to look at who is going to serve America, or actually lead America back in a resurgence and back towards the Constitution and help guide us. I've said this before, and I'm not running for president, nor am I going to run for president. Now, you may elect me as president, and that's a different thing. But the point is that we need a president that will actually pull the reins back of the bureaucracy, tie the hands of the bureaucracy, and do everything he can to, or they can, he or she, that we can actually get the bureaucracy off the backs of the states and off the people. And so, you know, all these IRS agents fired, gone, basically shut these things down and, you know, dwindle down the bureaucracy so that the states will not be encumbered and not have to be, because, you know, it's really hard to drain the swamp when you have to fight alligators. And I can't believe Trump, with his 4 years in office, did anything to help the states. I mean, he did some decent things, but I mean, when you realize that you have to, you're living in the swamp. There's alligators in the swamp, and you've got to drain the swamp. So you can't just drain the swamp and let the alligators kill you. You have to fight off the alligators when they come along. And so I can't believe he didn't help, because he was in the position to hold back the alligators. That's the whole point of the president. That's what we need in a president that will hold back the alligators and the threats to allow the states to do what they need to do. One of the first things, as you know, the states have to do is they have to start definitizing the Constitution. They have to come to a point where they've completely and thoroughly definitized. Now, what does that mean? Definitizing the Constitution delineates exactly what the Constitution is and what it is not. It is not a living document. It is not the annotated Constitution. It is the actual text that was written by the framers in Independence Hall, and the text of the amendments, and the definitizing also includes how each of those lines were described, each of the clauses of the Constitution were clarified during the ratification debates. In other words, what does this line really mean? Because that's exactly what the ratification debates did. And those were legally binding terms and definitions of that compact. It's the same thing with the amendments, the 14th Amendment. You have to go to the congressional debates so that we can actually understand what the intent behind each of those lines were. Now, when we say what the intent was, we have to only include those who were the proponents for it. You can get all sorts of weird, out of this world terms and definitions from those who are trying to actually scuttle and or that are counter to the Constitution and the amendments. In other words, the anti-federalists, you have to throw their comments out. Because what they were doing was basically lying, or they were basically making suppositions and theories of, these terrible things that were going to occur. Well, everything that they were proposing on the anti-federal side really had a direct tie to violations of the Constitution. In other words, when George Mason said that they would get rid of and discard the militia, they did. In so doing, they violated the Constitution, because right there in the Constitution, nobody amended the Constitution to say the federal government was no longer responsible for training and equipping the militia. To this day, the federal government is not providing the funding and training for the militia, for the self-citizenry of enforcing the Constitution and or repelling invasions and suppressing insurrections. So my point is, what are we doing with, all of this money going into cops and going into sheriffs when that money is supposed to go and help train the citizens? See, we still have this obligation. Our system was designed as I'm helping people understand, what does a self-government really mean? Our system was designed as an immune system, and every part of the system, even the people, were a part of that immune system, which is why every public servant has to take an oath to support the Constitution, and every citizen, that oath is implied that we all are obligated to support the Constitution, because when we do that, we are protecting our liberties and and our sovereignty. Excuse me. So, folks, what the heck are we doing? We're not doing our job. We know that. We are the biggest part of the problem, because when the citizens actually start holding the government accountable regarding their liberties, regarding their sovereignty, and regarding these issues, and when I say sovereignty, I don't mean overall sovereignty. I want to be clear here, because this really blows people's heads. I mean, seriously, I know some pretty smart people that when I actually tell them that we have fragmented sovereignty, we aren't all sovereign of all things. We, the people, are not the full sovereigns over everything. We willingly have given up and delegated sovereignty, our sovereignty, to our governors. When I say governors, I don't mean, the governor of the state, those legislators who actually are to govern us with laws. And so technically, that word is synonymous more with a legislator. Now, the governor that we have is more of he's an executive. He basically makes sure that the laws are being executed. He can't make law. Even though we see governors over the past, several years doing such things, making laws and making edicts and doing crap. Washington State Inslee, this guy should be tried for treason. And there's no doubt in my mind, if we actually use the Constitution and we try that man, he would be dangling at the end of a rope. Same thing with Bill Clinton. Same thing with all of these folks. If we actually use the Constitution the way it is supposed to be used and hold people accountable in accordance with the charges and those definitions, what these people are doing is tantamount to treason. So, anyway, I am so sorry. I have not gotten even into the obligatories, and I've not gotten into some of the stuff that we're going to talk about. I already told you that we're going to have Michelle Bachmann, her interview on Thursday. I am hoping within the next week or so, I will get to Paul Nally and, you know, and take off, because in my last conversation with Paul Nally, I asked him, what is the process? What can we do that would actually help us restore common law and common law courts? And so, what is the way to do that? So that's what I want to get back into, because we need to get there. But we've got a break coming up. So I will finish kind of talking and giving you a forward look. Other than the fact that we're covering the Constitution, we're going to be diving and swimming in the Constitution for a good while. We'll be right back after these two promos.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there's still some time for those of you who are in Riverside County, San Diego County, Orange County. Well, L.A. County is a little bit further away. And I believe this is going to be in, not Wildomar, I think it's in Murrieta. But the Constitution Association is having their annual dinner, and that'll be this Saturday. So if you have an opportunity, just Google Constitution Association and look up their dinner gala that they're going to have, and I'm here to tell you it is going to be awesome. Now, real quick, let me go through some obligatories, because I believe, and the reason I support these is not because I'm funded by them. It's because these are patriots that are out there, and they're patriots that contribute to good causes. You know, like MyPillow. Everybody buys MyPillow now because why? Because Mike Lindell actually, you know, helps out people, and he's out there trying to be a good warrior against, you know, bad government. It'd be nice if he understood how much more powerful he'd become if he was more focused in what he was doing. But anyway, let's move on. Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching is where you can go if you're looking for financial help and financial assistance. As a matter of fact, Constitution Education, I talked to Keith Borders. He is having some problems, so I just ask that pray for Keith And if there's a way you can find out, you know, like constitutioneducation.us, and if you can, you know, throw some love to him, give him some donations, because I know he's going through some hard times. He's older than I am. He's legally blind, if you didn't know this. And so, you know, he needs help. And I would pray and hope that everybody, if you can find it in your heart to give this gentleman $2, $3, $4, $5, if everybody that listened, I mean, just gave him a buck, he would be overwhelmed with money. More money than he's probably ever seen, because we have that big of an audience. It's even though I don't do the talks, so people could start calling in. But even when you have, you know, like if you listen to, you know, the entertaining shows, you know, they always have these regulars, and then every once in a while they have a caller. But 9 times out of 10, it takes a lot of courage for somebody to actually dial up. But when you're just talking about grievances, it's so much easier to talk about, you know, how you've been abused. I mean, when you listen to it and you go, well, you know, I could get engaged in that. But I understand it's a lot different when you're actually talking at an academic level regarding something. Because a lot of people hate to sound like they don't know or they don't understand. But I'm telling you, folks, it's always best to ask a question. If you don't know and you don't understand, just ask. Now, I may not know everything, but I will do everything in my power to help you understand anything that you're trying to understand regarding the Constitution or constitutional history. I know I am not the best, you know, there's nobody that's a perfect orator. There's nobody that, you know, communicates perfectly. I mean, there's some that can communicate that reaches a far broader, you know, group of people than I can. Because just the way I speak, the way I, you know, form my sentence, sometimes I confuse people. Sometimes I break things up. Sometimes I lay it out a little bit differently. But the point is that I really am here to help. I'm not here to embarrass, and I'm not here to attack. You know, I just love the fact of how somebody can actually become successful for attacking their listeners. You know, thank me for your call. Anyway, I mean, just absolute rude. And I get it that they may be progressives that are calling, but not all the time. I've actually heard people abused when I go, that shouldn't have happened. That just shouldn't have happened. But anywho, let me move on. Timber Nation. If you're looking for hardwood furnishings, Timber Nation is where you can go. And you're running out of time if you're going to be getting stuff for Christmas. I've already covered Constitution Education. That's right. You go ahead and get some money to Keith. But RadioDustCovers.com with Stan Kluett is another good opportunity and a good investment for protecting your audio gear and so forth. I've got quite a few of Stan Kluett's covers. And, you know, it's a unique niche. I mean, who else is doing that type of thing that is creating covers? If you have for a personal use a really high end, you go out and buy a high end printer, then why wouldn't you want to protect that printer? Why wouldn't you want to protect, you know, something that should last you years and years and years? And I say this because a lot of people wouldn't even think about spending $1,000 or so on a printer. Folks, let me put it to you this way. Your print volume, if you go out and buy a printer and it's, you know, like a laser printer, what have you, and you're not doing images and you're not going to get into photography and that type of stuff. It's just, you know, basic printing out papers and so forth. Why wouldn't you buy a printer that would last you probably the rest of your life if you took care of it? And my point on this is if you look at the life cycle of how many pages those things are designed to be able to print, you can buy a printer and only buy one printer for the rest of your life, probably. We have, and that's what we do. We'll actually go out and usually we haven't had to replace any of them other than, you know, we've decided, okay, we do need to step up to the higher dots per inch or what have you. But for the most part, I mean, we haven't bought a printer in years just due to the fact that we, you know, we end up buying one that's designed to last. So that's why you get the small entry-level business ones that are designed to print like a million pages. I don't think the average person is going to print that much with a printer, and you could actually survive with, you know, and they're cheaper than you think. They're not, they're just a little bit more expensive than some of the printers you're buying. Anyway, I digress. AdLocal, if you're looking for ISP type of support, email support, and or campaign pages, check out adlocal.com. Again, comment line 425-270-5416. Now, I'm going to forego the obligatories this, you know, the rest of the week. And when we get into the Constitution, we're going to forego them as well. Because what we want to do is we want to cut through most of the content so that we can get it through, because we've got a lot of things we need to cover. And so let me kind of cover what we need to cover so that, you know, you kind of understand, wow, there's a lot of things we need to fit in before the end of the year. Some of the things that we still have to cover, because I try to do this rationally, right? So what we're doing is we're covering the Constitution after the ratification base only because we want to cover the Constitution on Constitution Day, because we believe that helping people understand the Constitution and honoring Constitution Day is a very important thing to do. So that's why we kind of just set it aside to do it once a year on Constitution Day. So what we've done, though, we've covered the overview of liberty and the concepts that kind of, you know, percolated from the Magna Carta and so forth as we evolved our way into the colonies and into liberty and into this experiment of a new nation with the Articles of Association, Articles of Confederation, and then the Constitution as we broke away from the British Empire. We covered natural law. We've covered the American version of republicanism. We've covered the Tory Acts. And we have covered the ratification debates, something we haven't covered in, you know, at all, or at least over a year, is the Assumption Act. And something we haven't covered is the cod fishery bounties. These are all important, and these are really kind of short. I'm not going to be doing a week-long Assumption Act, cod fishery, and so forth. The point is that after the Constitution was ratified, our government and those who were governing in Congress already came across problems where they were actually heading down a path of violating the Constitution, and did. They did with the Assumption Acts. The cod fishery bounties was a path that they could have actually started violating the Constitution as well. Another thing that is I love sharing, and we kind of, this is a, usually a whole day show, is we go through Madison's essay on property. We cover the Whiskey Rebellion. We cover the 11th Amendment and prove that amending the Constitution doesn't mean anything if we're not enforcing it. And so the 1798 resolution. So if you notice, we're kind of going through history in a clip, right? So then we hit the 1798 resolutions, and this is where we actually go through Republic review. In other words, we build upon what Madison did. So we cover the resolutions that take us, you know, beyond just 1798, because Madison actually did a report, and then Madison did his notes on nullification in 1834. So we kind of tie all of this together, because it's all the same topic, into Republic Review. And so we'll be covering that coming up. Then we'll go through the State Enabling Acts, and we'll probably cover these at a high level, so we can do it in a day. We want to cover the Missouri Compromise. We want to cover the Monroe Doctrine. I think it's imperative that we cover the Manifest Destiny. And so moving on, we will pick up what else we need to cover when we come back after this. So please stay tuned. We're still just kind of covering what we're going to cover for the rest of the year in content for you, because We're here to empower you with knowledge. And if we're not teaching you and providing you at least these little facts, then we're not as effective. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so going through the rest of the content that we want to plug or get through either by the end of the year or going into the early year. So some of the things I also do is I have my Thanksgiving special. I always like to help people understand how we should be celebrating. If we're going to have a Thanksgiving day as a nation, what we should be doing. And George Washington set that tone with the first proclamation of Thanksgiving. So those of you who are familiar with this, we go through this every year. And we try to, you know, do it fresh and try to take a different approach. We never replay Thanksgiving. But the point is that we're hoping that move you away from this honoring of a very small facet of the Republic, which was the pilgrims. Not everybody that came to America were pilgrims, even though my heritage was there. I am here to tell you that we shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving in remembering the pilgrims. We need to be remembering the significance of this Constitution, which is why George Washington did what he did. But we do that. We do that for Thanksgiving. We also have a special for Christmas. And at the end of the year, before the New Year's, we try to cover how to set effective goals. Because most people want to actually become, you know, better. They want to, you know, get rid of bad habits, do things that they need to do and not do things that they need to stop doing. Anyway, we also want to cover the 12th Amendment because it is critical to do that on its own, because what we want to do is cover the Electoral College and focus strictly on the Electoral College, because there's plenty of efforts out there that are trying to subvert that have successfully done it. They're trying to subvert it even more. We want to cover the vetoes of the Department of Transportation. We want to cover the Madison's letters on, you know, to John G. Jackson. We want to cover the Department of Home and the establishment. And why do we do this? Because the Department of Home is the Department of Interior. It was the very first unconstitutional department erected by the federal government without the delegated authority from the states. And what is the biggest problem that is causing havoc, wreaking havoc upon the states today? the Department of Interior because they're buying up state land and so forth. And so what we, the reason why we cover the vetoes and then we'll go into the Department of Home, because we want to prove to you that if they couldn't even have the, if they didn't have the authority to create this thing called the Department of Transportation, they definitely didn't have the authority to create this Department of Home or what we call the Department of Interior. We're going to go through the 14th Amendment if we get the time. And this is where we cover Section 1, Section 2, Section 3, and Section 4, as well as Section 5. Now, Section 5 brings in language that is kind of unique, but it gets repeated moving forward. And I believe, I think it's either the 13th or the 14th Amendment where they actually started using this language of what they talked about enforcement and so forth. And why, if you understand what they did then and how it's been misinterpreted today, this is how government constantly uses things to aggrandize their powers and authority. Clearly, folks, we have a limited constitution. It's an enumerated constitution, and the government only has so much authority. Now, let me just kind of cover, because this is what I wanted to do, excuse me, is I wanted to cover these, this, what I call the Liberty Summit that I attended, not what I want to call, that's what they called it. And I just want to give you this good view. Because this is just like your state. This is just like, you know, where you live. This is what's going on. There are all sorts of patriotic groups out there that are, you know, doing the fight against this and the fight against that. And so the first speaker at the Montana Liberty Summit in Park County was an active senator, Senator Howard, talked about the Supreme Court overreach of the state of Montana. Now, Montana is no different than your state. It's just that they're so attuned that they've realized, and they're not standing by and just saying this, you know, the Montana Supreme Court is going to go unchecked. So this senator, which is, it's a great thing that, you know, he's calling this out, we need to fix this, but some of the things that, you know, he was talking about didn't necessarily jive with how the Constitution was further defined by James Madison and by Thomas Jefferson out of the ratification debates, and how basically these resolutions kind of helped put context in contract law of what had to happen. Because bottom line, the Constitution falls under contract law. As far as constitutional law, I don't know what that is. When we allow the courts and lawyers to say, oh, well, you know, we've got to get into constitutional law and you know, massage this baby to work these things. No, no, it falls under, is it in the contract or not? If it's not in the contract, then you can't do those things. You can't say that these clauses, the necessary proper clauses, the supremacy clause, they do not grant you more powers. So as we look through, you know, this presentation that Senator Howard did, you know, he was clearly pointing out that the federal, or I should say the state bench, was really going well beyond what they should have been doing, and they were corrupt. Folks, if this has happened in Montana, I'll bet you it's happening in your state, because Montana is, even though it's blue in some spots, it is a red state. And it becomes more and more obvious in a red state. The question is, do you get the people engaged enough to actually, you know, swing this over and take back, you know, or put these government, you know, get rid of these corrupt people and put the government back into check? Well, folks, the only way you're going to successfully do this in Montana is by using the First Amendment petition. The next speaker, which I won't even get into, was a health freedom speaker as far as the gal and what she was talking about. But it was interesting because she started setting the tone for a lot of other speakers behind her that talked about legislation. They were creating legislation to go against or to put checks on other legislation that was unconstitutional. In other words, they were piling, I'll just say, laws that were, trying to stop unconstitutional laws. Now, I'm just going to scratch my head and I say, why is it that we, not just this group, why is it that all, I'll just say patriot groups and all these different organizations, pro-constitution, what have you, they lose sight of the Constitution. And instead of saying, hey, that's unconstitutional and nullify the law, they have to create a law to put a check on that law. All it does is it creates more and more and more laws, and it creates this maze and this sea of laws you have to swim through to determine what is the real law when the Constitution of the state is the real law. See, the fact is that the state probably doesn't have the authority, and I'm telling you right now, it does not have the authority to make a law to mandate vaccinations, to make a law to mandate in any way masks or any of these things. We've covered this time and time again. This Constitution puts checks upon the states to ensure that the people's liberties cannot be denied. And so what we have to do is we have to start using First Amendment petitions to help educate people to say all of these laws, all of these things we're fighting have to go away. And so what we do is just like Martin Luther, and I'll say this over and over again as we move towards the end of the year and start all over again next year. We have to create the full list, but what we do is we use one petition at a time to communicate very specifically why our county commissioners must do their job. By holding them accountable, this is how we actually take back our republic, because we have to clean up our own community before we can start cleaning up the state, before we can even think about cleaning up the federal government. So this presentation regarding health freedom, regarding parental rights and all of these other things, because this gal is great. I mean, she's a huge resource that we could really use in getting petitions to actually start driving through this nation. And this is what we need. We need people to write petitions that we can all start sharing, that every group across America in every county can start picking up this wad of 100 petitions and start getting people to sign them. Then we had a Patriots for Prosperity, something like that, talk and. The gentleman that was actually talking was really, even though he was a leader of the Tea Party and so forth, he was more progressive. I mean, everything he was saying and everything he was supporting was actually maintaining, the education system. It wasn't fighting the curriculum. It was just expanding the education system. In a nutshell. This summit was awesome. I want to cover more of what we ended up talking about, what ended up happening, but we will have to, I'll pick this up in our next episode, and then we can move on and get prepared for Michelle Bachmann's interview. You're going to love this. But remember, keep thinking, who would be a good president? We will be back. I'm G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.